Yes, Lord, we are overcome with your great love for us. We're overcome with the mercy that you have for us, the grace that you've shown. And as we remember Advent, Lord, and your coming, Lord, we're so grateful for the peace that you brought at the cost of your Son. Lord, we look forward to your second coming, where you will take us home. Lord, we're desperate for you, and we want to be in your arms, safe, at peace with you. And so we pray that you would come again quickly. And in the meantime, Lord, receive our praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have a seat. And now it is time for our kids' time. Anybody, any of our kids that want to participate, and they can go back in the back. Amber and Diana will be taking them back. And by the way, parents that are going to have their kids go after the service is over, if you can go pick up your kids, it's going to be over in the fellowship hall. And if you need help finding out where that is, how to get there, let us know and we'll show you how to get there. These kids are adorable. I love it. Bye, kids. Have a good time. Well, for today's message, I wanted to kind of explain what it's going to be like. I'm going to use an analogy for kind of how I'm structuring the message. Put in your mind a present, a gift, a box that has a bow on it. That's what I want you to think of. There's going to be a main part that's the gift that's there in the box. But then we're going to take two other analogies. Think of those as the bow that you then we're going to tie together in a knot over top. And so we're going to start with what the box is. The box is going to be the main thing, and that's going to be what we've been talking about with Advent. The peace that God brought when he sent his Son to come live a life with us. He brought peace on earth. And that's going to be the main thing that we're going to be talking about. Now, the bow has two ends to it, and they seem to be very different. One's going to be a hypothetical question, and one's going to be an observation. And so, think now with me. Imagine that you have this bow. We're going to talk about the first side. The first side is going to be an observation that I've made, and I'm sure you've made it as well. Have you guys noticed how much selfishness there is around lately? Have you guys noticed how selfish people are? Hey, you just go to HEB or you go to Walmart, or you go to a store. Man, it just seems like everybody is out for themselves. Listening to people online, listening to people talk, it's just selfishness, 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 over and over and over again. I get so tired of it. And I don't know about you, if you've experienced that lately, but it seems like it's getting worse. It seems like it's rampant, and our country seems to have just a massive problem with this. Now, I think it was always there. I think the selfishness was always there, but I think the pandemic has really brought out things that were hidden before, or you could hide behind, or you didn't have to deal with, but now they're really coming out. And so that's been just driving me crazy. And if it's been driving you crazy, you're not alone. we're all experiencing that. And so that's the first side of the bow. And then the other side of the bow is a hypothetical question. You guys are starting to get into the holiday season. Christmas is around the corner. How many of you are just packed? Your schedule's packed. You've got a number of things you got to do. You're feeling overwhelmed. How many people are feeling overwhelmed? Sign of hands. There we go. Yeah, I get you. I feel you. There's the baking to do, and there's the Christmas gifts to do, and there's all sorts of things. So here's my question to you. If you could have a magic wand and you could magically make all of those tasks be done for you, you still got them done. You got the presents wrapped. You got them bought. You baked all the cookies for you, the PTA meeting and all these things. You got all that done. What would you do with your time? How would you spend your extra time right around Christmas? What would you do? Would you go spend some more fun time? Would you spend more time with family? What would you do? That's my question for you. And so keep that in mind. Think about what you would do. And we'll come back to that later here in our discussion. So now let's focus in on the actual box, the actual present. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2 today, so go ahead and get your Bibles out. We're going to be looking at the peace that God brought through Jesus' first coming when he came to earth. We'll be in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Last week, we opened up and we talked about John the Baptist's dad, Zacharias. It's his turn to go, and he and his wife have been barren, and so he goes into the temple. He's going to do his priestly duties. And while he's in there, Gabriel, the angel, comes in and shows up and says, you're going to have a child, even though your wife is barren. And you're going to name him John. And they go through and he explains that he's going to make way the way for Jesus to come. And so we talked last week about the hope that we have in the coming Messiah who came to us. Now, this week, we're going to look at Jesus' birth. And this passage is going to be the familiar one. If you read the Christmas story at Christmas time, this is likely the one that you have. But in the middle of the story, the angels cry out this way. They say this, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. That's what I want to focus on today. So as we're going through, pay attention there to verse 14, where the angels declare that. So read along with me. I'll follow along anyways. Chapter 2 of Luke, verse 1 through 20. Now in those days, the decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. And she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the field and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. This is a beautiful story. A beautiful story of the king coming and being with his people, of the faithfulness of Joseph and of Mary, and the faithfulness of God that he would send his own son for us. It's a wonderful story that we all love. It's also a story of heartbreak. Imagine trying to travel on a donkey miles and miles, 9 months pregnant. That's got to be horrifying. I remember when Amy was pregnant, and I cared a whole bunch about the the path we were going to go, which route we were going to take, and what we were going to do at certain times. And we were in Dallas, and so I had to watch out for rush hour, which way we were going to go. I cared a lot about that. They're on a donkey traveling across the country. That's not the way that you want to have your first experience giving birth to a child. It's also a story of hope. A story where we're all in darkness. We're all sinful and we're all live in a world of evil. And yet here in that darkness, Jesus is born, a savior to come and rescue us. And it's a story of glory, God's glory, how great he is, how magnificent he is, and how worthy of praise he is. So Luke 1, when we talked about last week with John the Baptist's dad, Zacharias. When John is born, Zacharias has been mute for 9 months. And they ask him what to name him. And he says, he writes down his name is John. And then he gets his words back. And what does he do? He prophesies and he glories. He glorifies God. That's exactly what he does. Then we have more angels showing up here to the shepherds. And what are they doing? They glorify God, declaring what he's done. And then this passage ends here with the shepherds. It says they're glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen. God be praised for what he has done. May God be praised for sending us his son to save us this Christmas. And so God ought to be praised always. He's great. He's the creator. He's the ruler. He is the great judge. But in this case, we're given a direct, specific reason why God should be praised. They spell it out completely. Here's the reason. The birth of Christ will bring peace on earth to men. That's why God should be praised. For today, in the city of David, there has been for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This Lord that was born so long ago will bring us salvation and peace. And so this is the gospel that we preach. This is the story that we tell, that we were lost in darkness. We were sinful. We were separated from God. And yet in the midst of that, God himself sent his son to come and live a life here among us, to become one of us. And he lived a perfect life, never sinning, never doing anything wrong. And with that, he then offered his life a sacrifice on the cross, shedding his blood for us, and then offered us the righteousness that he has so that we can be saved. And anyone that believes in him receives that gift of salvation, receives the peace that the Father has with the Son. We receive that same peace as well. And we can dwell with him now, and we will dwell with him forever when he sets up his kingdom. This is our gospel. And the response, the proper response to the gospel is to praise God with everything that we have. The way you sang this morning was just beautiful. It was coming from hearts that love the Lord. And you could feel it. You could sense the connection that we have with God. And we have that because of the gospel. It's a beautiful thing. And so may we always be living in ways that are bringing praise to God because of what he has done. Now that is our present that we're talking about today. The present is that we have been given peace between us and God. Before we had war, we had strife, we were his enemies, the scripture says. And now God has made peace through the coming of Christ. Now that we have our gift set up and what we're really talking about, what we're really excited about now, we're going to discuss the other two aspects of the present, because it's one thing for God to offer us peace. It's another thing for us to experience that. It's another thing for us to live that out in our life, both having peace with God, but also having peace with others. If you look around us, and if you've been paying attention in the last few years, it doesn't feel like there's a lot of peace among men, does there? There's a lot of war, there's a lot of strife, there's a lot of conflict, a lot of fighting, a lot of backbiting. And so how do we wrap the bow around so that we actually experience what this is, where we find in our lives the peace that God has offered to us. So we talked about selfishness, right? Now, what happens when you have a bow and you set it down, you set the present down on the bow, but you only pull the one side of the bow? What ends up happening? It runs away, right? It goes away and you can't tie the bow anymore because there's no tension on the other side. This is kind of what that selfishness that I was talking about is like right now. Our selfishness that we're seeing in us and we're seeing in other people around us is trying to run away from the peace that God is offering to us. You don't get to peace through selfishness. You don't have peace in your home. Husbands, if you're selfish, you don't have peace with your wife, and you know it. Selfishness wants to run away from peace. And so we have to have something that tugs on the other side. But why are we so selfish? Where is that coming from? Well, if you guys remember those who were here when we went through James, James gives us the answer where conflict comes from, why there's no peace. He says this in James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Where's it coming from? Why are we having these problems? Why are we fighting? It's not a secret, folks. It's not hidden. Here it is. Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. We have these desires in our flesh that we want, and when we don't get them, we like to fight over it. That's where it's coming from. Selfishness. We want what we want. And all these people around us are the same way. And that's where these fights are coming from. And so here is our selfishness on one side of the bow, trying to run away, to avoid the peace that God is offering. But we're after peace. We want to experience the peace that comes from being with God, both us and with God, but also among men. We want to be at peace with one another. We want to be at peace with our neighbors. We want to see nations be at peace with one another. And so what pulls on the other side of that bow? What's going to be strong enough that's going to be able to wrangle that bow and that selfishness that wants to run away? What's going to be strong enough to keep it on the other side? Well, this is where that hypothetical question came in. All right, so go back to that question. What would you do if you had all that time all of a sudden laid out for you? How would you spend it? Well, that's a question for us. That's a hypothetical that we can think through. I wonder what I would do because I don't have a maid. I don't have a magic wand that's going to magically make all these things happen. But here's the thing. For us, that's a hypothetical thing. For Jesus, that's a real experience that he had. We don't have to ask, what would he have done? Because he actually went through that exact same scenario. Over and over and over again, in scripture, Jesus says that he came down to be with us. He was in heaven, folks. He is the maker of everything. He is the one that is magical. He has that exact same experience. He's there in heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. He has access to all these angels that he is now sending to preach about his coming. They do exactly what he wants. He can do anything that he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. So does he spend his time doing selfish things? Does he spend his time just spending it on himself? Just taking care of his own wishes and desires? No, what does he do? He comes down to serve us. His whole characteristics, everything about him, his heart is all about service. He has an unlimited amount of time to do whatever he wants. And what he chooses to do is to come and to serve us. If you want to understand how to have peace on earth, and how to deal with the selfishness that you see in yourself and the selfishness that you see in others, it's to counteract it with servants. This is what Jesus shows us. And what his coming to earth shows us. To get peace, this is the main idea for today, folks. Here's the main idea for today. To get peace, you have to bring service. You have to serve. The way that we get peace between us and God comes from Jesus serving us. And so if we want to bring that out, if we want to bring peace out in our lives, in our relationships, and in our neighborhoods, in our communities, the way that we do that is by serving other people. That service is going to be strong enough to hold back that selfishness. We're going to be able to tie that bow on the top. Jesus came to serve. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28 says this. This is his entire point in coming. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That was his purpose. That wasn't a side purpose. That wasn't a side project he was doing. That was the purpose. The whole thing was to serve us. And without that, we don't get peace between us and God. And let's remind ourselves of how deeply he committed to this act of service. How deeply he went deep into this humbling of himself to give to us. He's born to lowly parents. And in fact, to a woman that she conceives of the Holy Spirit. Well, to the community, how does that look? Sure, right, Mary, yeah. I bet an angel came and talked to you. It doesn't look very good there, right? But it's to those parents, a carpenter. Joseph is of no importance socially. That's who he chooses to have as the parents. On top of that, they're Jewish. They are second-class citizens. They're not even Roman citizens. Rome is in charge of everything at this point. They're underneath Rome's rule. It's to these people that Jesus comes. Now, Joseph is from Nazareth. There's nothing that comes from Nazareth. And where do they go? Where he's born? Bethlehem. There's nothing in Bethlehem. Lowly, humble, here to serve. And where is he born? There's no room in the inn. He's born in a stable. He's placed in a manger where the animals eat. This is where he came. Folks, Jesus didn't serve a little bit. Jesus fully jumped in to serve us completely. We ought to have the same reaction as well. So think back to your answer. If you had all that extra time coming up before Christmas, because all those tasks were taken care of, how would you spend your time? Would it be further on the selfish side? Would you spend your time doing things for you? I get it. Like, I understand those things are probably God-given. Like, you want to do fun things that God has given you that are fun and enjoyable, and that's great and that's good. Here's the thing, though. That's not going to bring about the peace that God offers. If you join in with the selfishness of everybody else, you're just adding to the bow being pulled away, and the rest of where we go is way away from that gift that God wants to give us. And so if your first inclination when I asked you that question wasn't to go, man, I would serve, then we got some work to do. Then we got some work to work in our hearts and say, why don't I want to serve first? Why don't I have the same heart that Jesus has? But if I'm honest with you guys, I'm not too worried about that. Because I've seen you serve. I've seen the way you guys have laid down your lives for each other over and over and over again. This church has served well each other. It's served the community well. You guys are all the time answering the call. When we put something up, just this week, we had two people answer a request for a service. And they were fast. They were quick. They wanted to run and to help and to serve. And that's because we have followed Jesus. And he is the king of our lives. You've done an excellent job of that. And we can always do more. We can always bring more service. But that's what we want to get, that main idea today. Service brings peace. And so this is where the two ends of the bow come together and they meet. It's when you bring that, not just a willingness to serve, not just an occasional service, but when your first inclination is to serve, that's when we bring the two ends together. So previously we've talked about the story of Joseph. You guys remember the story of Joseph? He's sold into slavery by his brothers. He goes into Egypt, and the whole thing's a debacle. It's a mess. It's a nightmare. He's totally treated horribly. And while then his brothers come forward, and they meet him, and finally it's revealed he's in charge of, he's basically in charge of Egypt, and he reveals himself to his brothers. What does he say to him? He says that what you meant for evil, God meant for good. And those that did the Max Lucado study, one of the things that he pointed out is that that word that is used there in the Hebrew is a word for weaving, a weaver that weaves together a fabric. And so here's what you brothers did. You wove together wickedness. What you wove for evil, God meant, God wove for good. He brought goodness out of what was wicked. And this is the point for today. How do you deal with all that selfishness in you? How do you deal with it in your community? How do you deal with the frustration that you feel and the ache to see peace on earth among men? How do you deal with that? You weave service. When you're tying a bow together, what do? You're weaving them together. So as the world is bringing selfishness, you bring your service to bear against it. And your service is strong. Why? Because he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. The service that comes from God will be strong enough to counteract that selfishness. And so where the world is weaving selfishness, you weave together your service. And that will tie the bow together. And that will bring the peace that God has offered to us here in your lives, in your relationships, and in our community. And so as you're going through this season and you're busy and you have a number of different things going on and a lot of things that are taking your attention and all these different things on your plate, keep your focus on the service. And where you see that selfishness, be like Christ, who took the evil of the cross and he wove the goodness of our peace with that. So take the selfishness that is thrown your way and give back goodness. Give back service. And we'll see peace reign in our church and in our community. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much, Lord, that you are gracious and kind. That you came and you brought us peace, Lord. God, we praise you for the sending of your Son. Lord, it's incredible how much you bowed down and lowered yourself to come be with us. God, our hearts are, we're tainted with sin and we're tainted with our flesh. And it's really, really difficult for us to fight against that and to serve the way that you serve and to not be prideful the way that we often are prideful. But Lord, as we remember your service and as we remember your humility, God, I pray that you would infuse us with the power to be gracious and good and serve others the way that you've served us. We give you praise and honor right now, and we pray that we would do that the rest of this week and the rest of this season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.